Turning your Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 2 tonight. We'll look at verses 4 through 8. I'll begin there and I'll read the even numbered verses if you'll join me on the odd numbered verses of 2 Peter chapter number 2. Stand with me, please. And in 2 Peter chapter number 2, I'll begin there at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Let's pray again. Father, again we come now, and Lord, we ask that you would please just meet with us in a great way. As we prayed a little while before, we pray that you please have freedom, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would not be quenched by anything that we might have done or said, but Lord, that you would please just have liberty to speak to our hearts, that you please convict us of what needs to be convicted of, and that you'd speak, Lord. Bless the special music, prepare our hearts, in your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
This last Sunday, but carried over tonight. That was a blessing. Good. And Madison played. Did she play the whole song by herself? That's a blessing. See, that's what we need right there. Amen. And there's more than that coming up, and that's wonderful. Thank you, young people, for that good song tonight. All right, I want to speak on the subject sight and sound. Sight and sound. I don't think any of you had the opportunity to go to Branson, Missouri, or where is the place in Pennsylvania? Right? Is that Lancaster? Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you get the chance to go there, they've got sight and sound theaters. I think it's probably a charismatic church or so that's behind it. Somebody's behind it. It's got a lot of money. I'll just say that. It's incredible, folks. It is. It's all Bible plays. Jonah, Noah, Passion of Christ, Joseph, Daniel, the lion's den. It's tremendous. It's a little pricey, but if you be in Branson in about, 8.5 hours from here probably. You can be over in Lancaster in, 10? And sight and sound, tremendous. And it's overwhelming. It's what it is. It's the sight and sound. It's the sight, all the decor, and the stage props. The Noah's Ark thing was unbelievable, just tremendous. We've taken the young people there on senior trip now 3 or 4 times. They've always enjoyed going, asked to go back. And sight and sound, the overwhelming things that you can learn just from sight and sound. And I hope maybe you get the opportunity to go there someday. I want to preach on sight and sound tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we have a great service so far. The music has been a blessing. I thank you for the group of Spanish men and for the group of young people that sang. I thank you for the choir song. I thank you for the good congregational music and the fellowship already of this evening service. Now, your truth, your word goes forth. Help it to go forth in power and liberty. And Lord, touch hearts and souls, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Sight and sound, seeing and hearing. What blessings these gifts are to mankind. The privilege to see and to hear is one that we should not take for granted. I believe, you know, having sight and hearing capabilities all my life makes it easy for me to take these things for granted. And I am sure that you face that same temptation. If you enjoy good sight and good hearing, and believe me, you'll enjoy it even more so when you begin to lose either one of those. And my eyesight has gotten worse through the years. And if you, I envy guys who have that good 20/10 or 20/20 vision without the use of corrective lenses by way of contacts or eyeglasses. And when you start losing it, believe me, you realize what a blessing it is to have sight and hearing. It's amazing when you go and sit in the woods, when I get to go out and sit in the woods this time of year for hunting, it's unbelievable to see the animals that God has given such a keen sense of sight and smell. A few mornings ago, I was out just north of the house a little ways there where a fellow lets me hunt, and a screech owl, it was before shooting light, and I was in the tree early, and a screech owl came, and he roosted about 15 yards right in front of me. And he was looking the other direction. He was looking north, and I was looking north. And he didn't see me, at least I didn't think. And I could tell it was a screech owl, even though it was dark, because I could see his ears, first of all, and the way the owl is. And then I heard him screeching. And, uh-oh, we're looking for somebody here. Okay, who are we looking for? Who's... Okay. I'm sorry, where does he go? He goes over here. Oh, okay, all right. Here he is over here, buddy. Okay, there you go. Okay, great. He speaks that. Okay, super. All right. So anyway, I was sitting there, and the screech owl comes, and he sits in this tree, and I watched him, and it was amazing to see him. His old head just turned, and just turned. It's dark, and all of a sudden, and man, he went into it's a field in front of me there. And he went down into that field, and birds of prey probably came up with a field mouse or something out there. But the ability to see it in dark, still dark outside, really, the ability to see is unbelievable. You get to see that when you sit in the woods a little bit. The deer's sense of smell is incredible. It always it'll work against you if you're not careful. But they have an incredible sense of smell. The ability to see, the ability to sight and sound and smell. It's unbelievable. The eye and the ear both provide avenues for us to gain information concerning what is going on around us. By its seeing ability, the eye allows us to see the world around us and learn from what we see. By its hearing ability, the ear allows us to hear the world around us and learn from what we hear. Sometimes it is sight, and other times it is sound that draws our attention to some beauty around us. I don't know if you're this way or not, but a sunrise or a sunset, the sight of a sunrise or a sunset does something in my heart to appreciate the God of heaven. Just does. And sometimes it's sight, and other times it's sound that draws our attention to some danger around us. Sometimes the screeching of tires or the wailing of a siren draws us our attention to danger that's around us. Sometimes it is sight, and other times it is sound that lifts our soul into deeper fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father. And sometimes it is sight, and other times it's sound that sends our soul into a tailspin of broken fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father. Sight and sound did that to Lot. It did not lift his soul into deeper fellowship with God. It sent him into a tailspin of broken fellowship with God. Sight and sound. Now in chapter 2 of his second letter here, Peter is talking about the sure judgment that is going to come on false prophets. He says that God knows how to reserve those false prophets to judgment, and he knows how to deliver the righteous from judgment. God knows how to do both. In verse 4, Peter uses the angels that send as an example of God's sure judgment. And in verse number 5, Peter uses the flood as an example of God's sure judgment on the ungodly, and Noah as an example of his sure deliverance of the godly. In verses 6 through 8, Peter uses Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, folks, I don't know if you caught that right there when we were reading that with Brother Mick just a minute ago, but look at verse number 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah were an example to people who would live after their time, that God doesn't put up with that kind of lifestyle. That's what that was. All right? So, he uses Sodom and Gomorrah as examples of God's sure judgment on the ungodly. And he uses Lot as an example of his sure deliverance of the godly. And calling Lot a godly man is a generous term. Lot was a saved man. There's no disputing that fact. The word just in verse number 7 is not talking about only Lot, because more than Lot was delivered. His wife was delivered for a short time. Two of his daughters were delivered. The word just in verse number 7 is just justified. He was saved. He was justified in the sight of God. And then the word righteous is used twice in talking about Lot. Once in verse number 7, twice in verse number 8. For that righteous man, and vexed his righteous soul. So here he was. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a saved man. Lot was a justified man. There is no disputing that fact. But Lot was not a happy Christian. So how do you know that? I know more than that. I know that Lot was an irritated, troubled, agitated, disquieted, distressed, and afflicted man. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it is possible to be all of those things and be a happy, glowing Christian at the same time? That doesn't fit, does it? Does it go together? You say, Pastor, where do you see all those troubling things about Lot? I see all those troubling things about Lot in the word vexed. It's used twice. And the definition of the word vexed is all those things I just gave you. Irritated, troubled, agitated, disquieted, distressed, and afflicted. So here was a saved man, a justified man, who had a soul that was irritated, troubled, agitated, disquieted, distressed, and afflicted. He was not happy. He was not enjoying his salvation, if you want to put it that way or say it that way, because his soul was vexed. And people, God said Lot became vexed in his soul through the filthy conversation. And you know that word conversation means lifestyle. Lifestyle of the wicked. And then God explained further that Lot vexed his soul by seeing their unlawful deeds and hearing of their unlawful deeds. Sight and sound. Sight and sound. Unlawful behavior means behavior that was against the right and holy law of God. And I want to tell you something. Sodomy is against the right and holy law of God. Okay? By the way, so is laziness. And so is pride. And so is abundance of idleness, which is all going on in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And here this man, this justified, righteous man named Lot, he vexed. That's a word that even carries when you just hear the word. It's a word that carries a connotation of something terrible. He vexed his righteous soul by seeing and hearing sight and sound, the sight of people involved in unlawful behavior and the sound of people talking about their unlawful behavior vexed his righteous soul. People, a righteous soul does not and cannot thrive on the sights and sounds of unlawful behavior. Can't do it. A righteous soul thrives on the sights and sounds of lawful, God-fearing behavior. Your physical health is not going to thrive if you make a consistent diet of Little Debbie Swiss rolls and Pepsi Cola and oatmeal pies and chocolate cake and ice cream and chocolate milkshakes. If you have that consistently, your physical health is not going to thrive on that kind of diet. And the sight and the sound of unlawful, ungodly, wicked behavior and lifestyles, a righteous soul does not thrive on that. A righteous soul thrives on the sights and sounds of lawful, God-fearing behavior. A righteous soul that consumes a steady diet of unlawful behavior over time becomes a vexed soul. That's what happened to Lot. His righteous soul became a vexed soul. So irritated, agitated, I'm going somewhere, disquieted, distressed, and afflicted. And again, that does not sound like a blessed man to me. Now, for the message. How did Lot put himself in a position to see and hear unlawful behavior? Well, you got to go back to the book of Genesis. We're not going there. You got to read chapter 19 and verse 1. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis 19 and verse 1 that Lot, now listen carefully, sat in the gate of Sodom. Now we understand that influential people sat in the gates of cities in Bible times. But folks, in Old Testament times, the gate of the city was an especially important place. People sat there to conduct business. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth? And how Boaz wanted to redeem Naomi's possessions, and that included Ruth, the Moabitess girl. And you read in the book of Ruth how Boaz went to the gate of the city, and he sat down, and when he saw the man go by who was a nearer kinsman than he was, he said, "Ho, such an one, sit down here." And then he got some men around him so they could have some witnesses, and they conducted the business of redeeming Naomi. That took place at the gate of the city. Do you remember when Abraham, when Sarah died, and he went to buy the cave of Machpelah from the men, the sons of Heth in the book of Genesis? And they conducted that business, if you will, there in the gate of the city. People sat in the gate of the city to see who was coming and going. In fact, Lot sat there the late afternoon when the two angels came in and as men, and he offered them hospitality. So sometimes people sat in the gate to see who were people who were coming and going, and they would offer certain people hospitality. They sat in the gate to do that. Judicial matters were resolved at the gate of the city. Sometimes, if they had a quarrel between two people in the same city, they would get some men together, and they would let them present their cases, and the men would decide, and that took place at the gate of the city. The gate of the city was also a place of communication, where people brought news and other bits of information to the gate of the city. It was a place where someone could be exposed to the behavior of the people who lived in the city. Folks, Lot was not a lawyer. He was not a businessman in an office. He didn't go to work in a factory. He was a landowner. He had flocks and herds. He had that delegated out to his other responsible people, those herdsmen. And then he sat in the gate of the city. And when he sat in the gate of the city, he exposed himself to all the unlawful behavior through sight and sound of the people who lived in that city. Now, wait a minute. He did not participate in the unlawful behavior. I don't think Lot was immoral. I don't think Lot was drunken. I think Lot was backslidden. horribly backslidden. Now, I don't think he participated in all of those things, but listen, he saw and heard enough that it vexed his soul anyway. Vexed him. Now, I submit to us that the same happens to God's people today. There are a lot of vexed soul Christians who are miserable. And many times it is the result of sight and sound. It's not the result of physical participation. We've got Christian people who do not participate in immorality. They're not lewd in their thinking. They don't participate in cursing God's name. They're not drunken. There's no blasphemous behavior on their part. They physically do not participate in any of those things. But sitting in the gate allows all that stuff to travel into the soul by sight and sound. You say, Pastor, what kind of gate do people sit at today where sight and sound vexes their soul? It's called television. That's what it's called. TV. It doesn't matter if it is TV programming, DVDs, watching on the internet or some other medium, the sight and sound of a great portion of what is viewed is vexing to the soul of a child of God. And especially TV programming. Now, I think it's possible to get a hold of some good, healthy DVDs and other media events, maybe by way of the internet. But friend, it is almost impossible to find healthy material on a television set. Television program. Now, you might have a cable package that has so many different channels that it's possible to find something that's not offensive to your Christianity. I'll give you that. But in so doing, folks, you've got to expose yourself to the temptation to look at how many other channels that are. And I don't know if you can stand up to that. That's tough temptation. You've heard me use the illustration before that if somebody came to your house about noon or 1 o'clock and you were both home, mom and dad, husband and wife, and they knocked on the door and they said, introduced themselves. You'd never seen that person before. Said, hey, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, listen, my name is such and such, and I've got a lot of friends in this area, and I don't live in this area, but I have a lot of friends in this area, and I would like to host a party for them, and I'm just looking for a place to host a party, and you've got a good-sized house, and somebody told me you had a good-sized great room in your house, and I was just wondering tonight, just for a couple hours between 8 and 10 o'clock, prime time tonight, if I could host a party here in your living room, and I'll give you so much money, and I'll take care of all the cleanup and everything. But I just want to use your house for a couple hours to host this party. But before you say yes, I want to warn you that I can't control everything that my friends do, and while they're here, some of them might use God's name in vain and be blasphemous in their talk, and I really can't control what goes on between some of the men and women. Some of the men and the women might end up together in another part of the house, and they might. I don't know, they might take their clothes off. I can't guarantee they'll all keep their clothes on. And I can't guarantee what they're all going to drink. They don't all drink Coca-Cola and Sprite and ginger ale. There's probably going to be some vodka. And I can't guarantee that there won't be any cocaine and drug use. And I can't guarantee that somebody won't get stabbed and cut open and you won't see all their insides and guts on the floor. But I just wonder if I could use your house. It wouldn't take you a split second to tell that fellow to hit the road. And yet, night after night, some of God's people sit hour after hour and allow the sights and sounds of unlawful behavior to infiltrate their eyes and their ears, which are gates of the soul. At prime time, from 8 to 10 o'clock at night, you open your great room, you open your family room, you open in some cases your bedroom to cursing and drunkenness and filth and lewdness and immorality, and you wonder why you can't enjoy your Christianity. You wonder why your soul is vexed. It's called sight and sound. People, you can only do that for so long until you are vexed. Vexed. Now, I don't know how you watch that junk and then order your kids not to act like the people that you're watching. That's hypocrisy. Now, you know what was difficult for me to do recently? I'll tell you what was difficult for me to do. What was difficult for me to do recently was to answer a question in Bible class. in the high school Bible class. I told you I'd encourage them to write some things down that they'd like for me to try to talk about and give answers to. And somebody wrote the question. It's anonymous. Somebody wrote the question, why don't Christians go to movies? Why is it wrong for a Christian to go to a movie? You know, that used to be easy to answer. Used to be easy. Well, because Hollywood endorses immorality and lewdness and drunkenness and violence and gore and blasphemy. And you know, we don't want to be guilty of financing that wickedness and be associated with that wickedness. And we might be a stumbling block to another Christian who's just been saved and sees us go into a place like that. We don't want to be guilty. And that was a good answer. Well, it's much more difficult to answer now that Hollywood's immorality and lewdness and drunkenness and violence and gore and blasphemy can be brought into our family room. No wonder the kids are confused. Oh, no, son, we're not going to go to Paramount Theater. No, no, we can't go to Paramount Theater, but have no fear, we'll just bring Paramount Theater to us. Hello, Brother Angel, this is quiet, if that's okay. It's the truth. It's sight and sound. It's sight and sound. I am not on a soapbox tonight attempting to get you to throw a brick through your television. If you want to get rid of it, bring it to Yard Mart. Okay? We'll get rid of it that way. Sell it. I'm not trying to get you to throw a brick through your television tonight, but I am preaching to encourage you not to be guilty of vexing your saved souls through the sights and sounds of the world's unlawful behavior. And the thing that kills me is some people work real hard at work. You're careful. You're careful about who your close associates and intimate friends are at work because you don't want that behavior to rub off on you. You're careful about, you know, you don't want to hear that guy's jokes, and you don't want to see, you hear this woman's jokes, and you don't want to see this literature. And you work hard all day long, and you plop down in the recliner with the remote and undo everything that you worked hard to avoid in a couple hours with the television set. Sight and sound. Sight and sound. I am preaching to encourage you as God's people to be careful with that set. Be careful with it. Folks, this is not, well, that's Old Testament. No, 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 no. Second Peter's in the New Testament. That's for us. That's for now. It's a relative Bible for the day and age in which we live. And you can't take a steady diet of that stuff without it affecting you. Boys will see and hear those who endorse and participate in sodomite behavior. It won't bother my son. You better be careful. Sight and sound. Girls will see and hear those who endorse and participate in the empowered woman movement. They'll hear them talking down at men and disrespectful about men and vulgar. But it won't bother my girls. Sight and sound. Everyone will see and hear those who blaspheme God, embrace socially communistic philosophies, and encourage interracial marriages. Your righteous soul does not thrive on that, but it can and will thrive on pure, clean, right, and godly sights and sounds. When's the last time you've taken the remote and hit the off button, put it up and said, that's enough? That's enough. I'm not having that in my house. Well, my kids get mad. Let them stew. There's a good way to get rid of that anger. Take them outside, let them rake leaves. And rake leaves until they work it all out. Don't be afraid of your teenage children. Sight and sound. I'll be transparent with you, folks. Some time ago, you know, I told you this morning, I don't watch the news. I don't get my news from the Fox News channel. I can't watch a program where the woman exposes 10 inches of her thigh. I can't watch that. That's not good for me. I've got red blood. Why do you think they prop her right in the middle? With her thighs exposed, her dress hiked up so far, it's ridiculous. I don't get my news off the... I read it off the internet. Get it off the internet. Where you can get on there and get off. But somebody somewhere told my wife or me one about a program that they thought was decent, and the only way I watch a sporting event now, almost every sporting event I watch is to tape it so I can go right through all those commercials, all that garbage. So I thought, well, you know, I exercise. When that's nice weather, I go outside. I like to be outside, exercise. I'd rather be outside any time to exercise, but sometimes you can't. So I got the elliptical, and I like to do something, watch or read, or do something when I'm exercising. And so I taped a couple of these programs. I started watching them, and they were interesting. But after four or five programs, it kept getting... And that one word got thrown out there, and well, you know, okay, I can handle that. And then this got thrown out there. And so after about the fifth program, I'm on that elliptical, and I... Push buttons, that's dangerous when you don't know what you're doing. And I tried to open that program, so get to that folder, and to delete all that, I deleted all Cherith's and their good, you know, 1940s things that they taped. I deleted the whole thing. Just, it was gone. She doesn't know it yet, but she'll come home in a few days. Oh, boy. Somehow I was pushing buttons and deleted the whole thing. But I got it off my television. I got it off my recorded events. That's enough. Because pastor means nothing. Pastor means nothing when it comes to that stuff. You think a title prevents me from having problems? A title? Well, you can watch it. No, I can't. Because I don't want a vexed soul. I don't want an irritated, agitated, aggravated, disquieted, distressed, unsettled soul. I want to enjoy the salvation that God has given me and rejoice in God's goodness. And I can't violate the principle of sight and sound. Lot couldn't violate it. I can't violate it. You can't violate it. So you got to get you some stuff like the absent-minded professor. Old Yeller. To shoot the dog up here. Three Stooges. I'm just teasing. I'm just. Puzzles. I don't know what to do. I'm serious. Because, look, you're talking about generations of people that have been reared on television. And to take it away, it's like a heroin withdrawal. Get some puzzles. Yes, puzzles are no fun. It's fun if you make it fun. Games, activities. You might find a documentary or something historical. I'm not on a soapbox tonight, friend, saying if you've got a television set, you're going to hell. That is not my purpose tonight. My purpose is, if that thing is on and playing, 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 sight and sound is going to vex your soul at some point. It's going to vex your soul. I've said over the years, I haven't said it in a long time, but television addiction is not just the presence of the negative. It's the absence of the positive. Yes, it's the presence of the negative. It puts all that stuff, pukes it out into your living room, your bedroom, where sight and sound takes it all in. But it's not just the presence of the negative. It's the absence of the positive. There's no family interaction. There's no fun. There's no laughter. It's the absence of the positive. It's not only sight and sound, unlawful behavior. It takes away the good, healthy behavior of a family that learns to interact together. That's all I have to say tonight. I had one thing to come to the pulpit and say tonight. Watch your sight and sound. Watch your sight and sound. Look, don't work hard to stay away from all that stuff for 8 or 10 hours a day at work and go home and plop yourself down and subject yourself to it. You just worked hard to avoid it. Sight and sound. Now, you may have a bigger problem than anybody knows. But God can give you the victory. And you say, Lord, I want to rededicate my sight, my eyes, and my ears to pure, clean, godly, holy. Look, folks, I don't think you need to live in a vacuum. I don't think you need to live in a hole somewhere, not knowing what's going on. I talked about that thing in Paris this morning. Okay? I understand the desire to keep up, but even the news, if you have so much of that negative stuff, it's going to drain you. Be careful about sight and sound. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight, because we sure need it. Lord, we're a needy people. That's all my soul wanted to deliver tonight to these people, is just a warning from the Scripture to be careful about our sight and sound. Lord, we want to dedicate our eyes, our ears, the gates to our souls, our minds, our hearts, our wills. Renew it to you. Ask God to make sure that the sight and sound that we're subjecting ourselves to is positive and clean and pure. Lord, help us, please, not to vex our souls through sight and sound that's unlawful. Please, I pray. Help our homes to be strong. Help our families to be strong. Help our people to be strong in this area. Please, I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hope that you'll use the altar if God speaks to your heart. It's not necessarily an admission that, that guy, that she's been watching bad stuff. That's not what coming to the altar is all about. What coming to the altar is about is God spoke to my heart and I want to respond and talk back to God and say, Lord, please help me in this area. If you need to be saved, of course you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. Obey the Lord. But let's be careful about our sight and sound in this day of unlawful behavior. Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing, the altar is open. Mm-hmm.